It's quite a radical thing to say that gratitude can change your life. That's what I said last week. And what would it look like if you were more thankful, if you had that spirit of gratitude? And what would it look like if it impacted your life? That's what this series is about. And so we're talking about being thankful. We're talking about having gratitude. Now, if you're not a Christian and you're here, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for being with us. If you're not a church person or you haven't been in church in a long time, I'm really glad you're here. And I would say to you, whether you're a Christian or not, try this. Try to be thankful and see what it can do for your life. Now, I'll tell you this, if you are a Christian, if you claim to follow Jesus, the reality is we're called as Christians. We are mandated, commissioned, commanded to be thankful. So what's your last week been like? You've been following that command, right? Have you been thankful? Have you had that spirit of gratitude? We're called to do that. Last week, we looked at if you are thankful, if you express gratitude, it can actually impact the way you see God. And I talked about how very often, you can check it out online if you missed it, but very often we view it the opposite. We're like, no. If you become a Christian, you'll become thankful. And so I asked, how many thankful Christians do you know? Right? I mean, becoming a Christian does not mean you automatically become thankful. Have you noticed that? Some of us, when we became Christians, those of us who are followers of Jesus, it's like we thought everything was going to change. And have you noticed, like, it doesn't just automatically change? Like, it takes time, and you still have to work at it, and it's hard to be thankful. It was hard to be thankful before, and it's still hard to be thankful sometimes after you become a Christian. So the reality is, just becoming a Christian doesn't guarantee that you're going to be thankful. So what I said last week was, why don't we try to be thankful even before we think about God, and it probably will impact the way we see God. And we looked at Psalm 100, right? Psalm 100 is amazing because in that psalm, the author is so thankful, and it impacts the way he sees God. He sees God as a great caretaker, as a loving father, as a good God. And last week I said, do you want to see God as good or bad? Gratitude kind of hangs in the middle and pulls us one direction or the other. And if we are people of gratitude, we will see God more often as good than we see him as bad. But that was last week. Today, I want to talk about the big challenge to that, which is what's happening in your life, right? The stuff that's going on in your life, your circumstances, your situation. And if I were to ask you to raise your hand, if I were to say, who's not doing so well right now? Who's kind of in the middle of some stuff right now? Who, life's not the way you planned it. This is not what you wanted for your life. A lot of hands would go up. Some of you can point back to some times that your life was like that in the past. Others of you, it's going to start tomorrow. You didn't even know it. Have you noticed that? That sometimes life throws things at us and there's no guarantee and we don't know when the difficulty is going to come. But today I want to talk about the challenge of circumstances. That is, when things are tough in your life, have you ever noticed that it's hard to be thankful? In fact, I would say this, when life becomes difficult, gratitude becomes difficult. Is that kind of true? You agree with that statement? When life becomes difficult, gratitude becomes difficult. It's kind of weird. It's like they parallel each other. Like when life is good, you're thankful, right? When life is not good, you're not thankful. Have you noticed that? It's really hard. It's actually easy to be thankful when life is good. Everything's great, man. Everything's perfect. I'm blessed. We say all these things sometimes as Christians. And then when life's not good, even as a Christian, we think, oh gosh, there's nothing to be thankful for. And if we are thankful, we're faking it. We're trying to act like we're thankful, and we wear what I often call church face. I'm great. Great. So thankful. Right? You ever notice? I mean, that's so often what we do. And I think sometimes you can fake it till you make it, but a lot of times you never make it. You just stay in the fake it kind of stage. So I want to talk today about that reality of being thankful even in difficult circumstances. Because you ever notice once in a while, have you ever noticed once in a while, thinking about all this difficulty and stuff, every once in a while, there is a strange person in your life that seems to be able to be thankful even when they're in difficulty and you think they're weird. And honestly, this is where Christians are supposed to be weird, where we're supposed to be able to still be thankful even in the middle of it. Now, I know what you might be thinking, I think. You might be asking the question, and I'll address it. Are you saying I'm supposed to be thankful for difficult circumstances? I'm going to address that today, because I think we kind of get stuck on that, I'm thankful for this difficult circumstance, and try to make ourselves be thankful, and we really, really aren't. But once in a while, you encounter a friend or a family member or something else, and you realize, you think they're faking it at first, but then you realize they're not. They still have joy. Maybe not happiness, but joy. They're still thankful, and they still have this spirit of gratitude that comes out of them, even in the middle of the difficulty. So how do they do that? What's their secret? What's the secret? How in the world do they do that? Well, I wanted to go to the story of the Bible to look at somebody, and somebody I've always admired who's able to do the kind of thing we're talking about. Sometimes it's a friend who does it. But sometimes you can go to Scripture and you can find people who are able to be thankful even in the middle of difficult circumstances. And yes, I know Jesus is that person, but sometimes I feel like it's hard to be like Jesus. You ever felt like that? So I wanted to find somebody else, and thank goodness the Bible talks about people who try to be like Jesus, like many of us, and maybe I can just try to be like them as they try to be like Jesus. And so one of the people that I like in Scripture, in the New Testament, that is this person who expresses gratitude, who is thankful at all times and all circumstances, is a guy named Paul in the New Testament. In fact, if you were to open up a Bible and you were to flip it open to the New Testament, you have a 50-50 chance that you're going to land on something Paul wrote. Much of the New Testament is attributed to him. He wrote a lot of these letters to churches in the first century and people in the first century, when Christianity was just really beginning to be birthed. And it wasn't even called Christianity yet. It was called the Way and the Way of Following Jesus. And it was this kind of new thing. They didn't have the New Testament yet or any of this stuff. And so there's this guy named Paul. But let me give you a little bit of background about Paul. Paul wasn't a Christian at first. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. In fact, Christians didn't like Paul at all, and Paul's own religion liked Paul a lot. And it was because he was trying to put down this kind of new religion that was rising up called the Way, or what we now call Christianity, where they had talked about Jesus, this radical rabbi who died and was raised again, and they were like, whatever, he wasn't raised again, that'll be over now. But then they found out months and years later it was still happening, and people were beginning to really believe in this Jesus who was raised from the dead, and his disciples said that they saw him, and so all these people started to become Christians and follow in the way of Jesus, and the disciples, many of them were still alive. And so Paul was trying to put down that faith because it was starting to kind of surmount their faith, and they're like, what in the world's going on? So Paul's friends liked him a lot because Paul was going out and persecuting Christians, trying to put down this new faith, this new religion. And so Paul would be there when Christians were put in jail, and Paul, it even says, was there when Christians were killed for their faith. This is who he was. And so he was totally against Christianity. I don't know how things go in heaven, but I like to kind of think about conversations sometimes. Like maybe God the Father was talking to God the Son. I know they're one, but you know how and the Holy Spirit. And so they're all having like this little powwow in heaven. And God's like, hey, God the Father, like, we need somebody to like spread the faith to the non-Jews. And so they were looking for somebody to kind of take faith to what were called the Gentiles. That was anybody that wasn't Jewish. And this isn't in the Bible, so I'm just making it up. But I mean, don't you like to think about what it could have been like? And so, you know, they were had a list of candidates maybe, and angels were bringing the candidates. Hey, I've been watching this one guy. He's really good. This one lady, she'd be awesome. And God's like, no, let's find somebody else. And so God points to, how about that one? And they're like, hello? Like, he's persecuting Christians. Like, he's the furthest thing from Christian. He's not usable. And God's like, no, I want that one. His name's Saul. I'll change his name to Paul. It's pretty close. And he's going to be the one. And so Jesus is like, all right, Father said it. All right, Dad, let's go. And so he goes down. And then there's this story in Acts. This is in the Bible. There's this story in Acts where the risen Christ encounters Paul. All right, this is after his death and resurrection. He is headed to persecute more Christians, and it's on a road to Damascus, right? And so he's going down the road, and he's got some travelers with him, and God knocks him off his horse or camel, whatever he's riding on, and has a conversation with him. And Paul's like, "Who is that?" And he's like, "I am the one you are persecuting, Paul." "Who?" Like, "The risen Jesus, it is I, the one you're persecuting. Now I'm going to use you." And in fact, when Paul becomes a Christian, like that moment, you know, there's no special prayer he prays or anything like that. That's fine if that happens. But in that moment, in his heart, he became a follower of Jesus, a Christian. It can happen just like that. And so he goes into the next town, and he was going to persecute Christians, but he ends up not persecuting them. And in fact, the followers of Jesus are afraid of Paul because they think he's just become an undercover agent, like acting like a Christian so he can find out who more Christians are and he can go and put them in jail. They don't even believe it at first. After this, Paul's life becomes just unbelievable. And Paul, the birth of Christianity, especially to those who weren't Jewish, is through the life of Paul. You can read about it in the New Testament. And, I mean, the church spread like wildfire. Paul helped start lots of churches, and those churches started churches and sent out more missionaries and people. And it just blew up in Asia Minor at the time. Just an amazing thing. And Paul's life gets really rough after that. He was popular and stuff like that, but what happened was he was then ostracized from his family. There are still religions like that where if you change religion, change faith, you will be ostracized from family. That happened to Paul. I mean, they thought he was nuts. Why, like, you persecuted these people. Now you're part of them? What is wrong with you? No, thank you. Right? And then Paul is shipwrecked, it says, on his travels. And he's often beaten when he goes into towns and cities. He's dragged out for dead sometimes. He's put in jail over and over and over. And by the way, there's a whole other message here I don't have time to get into today. But have you ever noticed we tell people that, hey, when you become a Christian, everything becomes great? Paul's life is the opposite. Become a Christian, your life gets really messed up. How messed up is my life? I'm not talking about the issues and problems. I'm talking about because of my faith. You know, does anybody think I'm weird or crazy or out there? And I'm not saying we should act weird or crazy or out there, but just knowing Jesus and living that life and being thankful in all circumstances and things like that sometimes makes people go, "You're a little bit different." Maybe we should do a series on that, how Jesus messes up your life. Right? Happened to Paul. You read about, look at all the other folks in the Bible. Through all this difficulty, though, okay, you see, his life got pretty messed up. Through all of this difficulty, Paul says crazy stuff, like the theme verse from our series, which was on that little video. I used it last week. 1 Thessalonians, one of the churches he helped start, he says this: "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is after he becomes a Christian. This is after the shipwrecks. This is while he's being persecuted. This is while he's in jail. This is while he's being beaten. This is while his family has left him. In everything, not in some things, in all things, give thanks. And you tell me, this next verse from Ephesians looks very much like this one. He's writing to that church, and he says, "And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here again, he's like, in everything, in all things, no matter what's happening, the good, the bad, the in-between, no matter what's going on in your life, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, what? Give thanks. Have gratitude. See, gratitude has changed Paul's life, and he has it all the time. So what's his secret? Right? What's the secret of your friend or family or church member or something else that you go, they're going through something very difficult, yet they still give thanks? And it's not fake. It's real. What is Paul's secret that in the midst of all this stuff going on, he's able to still have gratitude? What's the secret? I preach against secrets, but I love sometimes how this happens. Paul actually says there is a secret, and he uses that word. I don't like kind of secret. I want things to just be out there. Like, you shouldn't have to figure out God and stuff like this. It's revealed. But here there's a secret. But Paul's going to tell us a secret. And he even uses the word secret. Because in another book called the Book of Joy, we call it now, You know what book that is? It's Philippians, another letter that Paul writes, which is to a church in the first century, where he's full of joy, full of rejoicing, full of thanks. And by the way, he wrote it from jail. Look at what Paul says. He reveals the secret. How I praise the Lord that you're concerned about me again. I'll get to that in a minute, why they're concerned. I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Now that not that I was ever in need. Interesting. Look at the turn. For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. How about you? You content with whatever you have? I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the what? Secret. The what? Come on, y'all with me? The what? Secret. Yeah. Trying to keep you awake. Some of y'all didn't have enough coffee this morning. The secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach, it just goes straight to something we all know, or an empty one. Because, like, if your stomach's empty right now, you're not listening to me. And in fact, I just drew attention to it, and you're like, I'm really hungry. Thanks, John. Right? But he says, I've learned the secret of living in every situation, full stomach, empty, with plenty or with little. Now, let me hang on this for a minute. Why are they concerned about Paul? Well, they're concerned. This is Paul writing back to the Philippian church. What the Philippian church did was they heard Paul was in jail and facing his death, perhaps, for his faith, and he helped start their church, and they loved him so much. He spent some time with the Philippians that they say, let's send a messenger of hope and encouragement to Paul. And so they send from the city of Philippi to Paul a messenger. His name's Epaphroditus. Name your next kid that. Right? If you have already, great name. Love it. Love it. First century name. So they send this guy named Epaphroditus, or he volunteers, hey, I'll go encourage Paul. And he takes a basket of food, probably because in that day and time, if you were in jail, you had to depend on family and friends to even bring you food. Many people in the first century died in jail because they didn't have food. They weren't given the food like we do today. And so Epaphroditus comes and he brings food and he brings encouragement to Paul. And Paul says, oh, I praise the Lord, and he's real, that you're concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned for me, but you haven't been able to send a pizza. You haven't been able to come and encourage me. You haven't been able to do these things. But then he says this weird thing, but not that I was ever in need. Like, what? He's like, thank you, but not that I was ever in need. See, I am what? I'm okay. And that kind of shocks the Philippian church, I'm sure. Like, I'm okay. Like, if I were in that situation, and you guys heard about it, you'd probably think, John's probably not doing okay. Or if you were in that situation, I'd probably think, you're not doing okay. I need to encourage you. But Paul says, I appreciate it. Thank you. And I'm sure he's eating the food. It's not that he's not. But he's like, I'm okay whether my stomach is full or whether my stomach is empty. I'm okay, because he just says, I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with little or whether it's with plenty. No matter which one of those or where I'm at on the spectrum, and can you find yourself today? Are you struggling greatly or not struggling at all? Maybe life's good. But no matter where you are on that spectrum of things, Paul is saying, I've learned the secret. So what is the secret? Well, he hasn't revealed it yet, and I left a dot, dot, dot there for you. Because Paul is about to share with us the secret of how to live in any situation. You guys want to know the secret? Many of you know it. You've heard it, you've quoted it before. If you're not a Christian, I'm about to share with you something that maybe you've seen before on social media or stuff like that. Christians love to quote this, but very often out of context. No offense, but remember the context. I've learned the secret, and here it is. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I wonder if some of us even realize that was the context here. For we love that one verse. Have you ever noticed we love that verse right there? I know if you're not a Christian, you're like, what are you talking about? Believe me, Christians love this verse. We quote it when, like, we're moving to a bigger house. And, like, life's just crazy. Or we quote it when we get a better job. And we're like, oh, but I'm leaving this job and going to that one. It's just so much. We're packing so many boxes. But I can do all things through Christ. I'm about to leap off this mountain and fly, and I can do it. I'm being a little sarcastic. You get that. Right? But look at the situation. Paul's like, that's fine if that's the thing. Yes, you can do it then. But realize you can do it when you have nothing. When life is bad, when you've lost it all, Paul says, I have a secret, and it's Christ. Now, that's kind of, you're like, seriously? That's your answer? That's the secret? Is it not crazy that we go, the secret is Jesus? Paul, are you kidding? I need something more. More than Jesus? More than Christ, who gives you strength, you need more. Do we really know Christ, friends? For Paul says that's the secret. It's knowing him. It's a connection with him. Now I want to move this in a slightly different direction, but actually not different direction. I want to build on this, all right? What has happened to Paul because of the difficulty? When he's able to make a statement, or we're able to make a statement, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me, and it's especially when we're hungry and when life is tough. I watch some of the things you all go through. You're my community, you're my family, and I see some of the situations, and I watch you, and I go, that is so amazing what you go through and how you are able to do it. I'm amazed by it. Your witness is incredible to me. Some of you have lost so much. Yet you're still faithful and thankful. That's a witness to people. Believe me, it's a witness to your pastor to see those kinds of things. But what has happened to people in those situations? What has happened to Paul? Wouldn't you say that Paul has grown? That something about the difficulty and the struggle has caused Paul to what? Mature in his faith. And we should mature in our faith. We should grow in our faith. There's nothing wrong if you're not mature in your faith. There's nothing wrong if you haven't grown in your faith, except if you're not a new Christian. Over time, what should happen? Like a child grows and learns to eat and learns to walk and all these and learns to dress themselves and things like this. This is what happens to us as Christians. There's that image even used in the Bible. And over time, we mature and we grow in our faith. And so I think what's happening with Paul is he's grown to the point that he can make a statement like that. And if I'm not able to make that statement, it might be that I just need more time to grow, and that's fine. But I need to see my situation like Paul does. And here too is where, you know, before I said, am I thankful for the difficulty? Well, I just think that's dumb, actually, to just be thankful for the difficulty itself. I don't think that's what Paul's talking about. It has something to do with the God part of it. So hang with me, okay? I came up with a formula this week. You tell me if you agree with this. I'm trying to take what Paul's doing, and I think if he left off the formula, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to call this the secret. Right? You want the secret formula for what we're talking about today? How am I supposed to be thankful in all situations? Well, first of all, it's difficult circumstances. Here's the first part of it. Anybody know what those are? Anybody got one you can think of right now? Or you went through? Some of you have past difficult circumstances that are still the equation of your life, and you're stuck where you are because of it. You kind of gotten stuck there. Others of us, the difficult circumstance will come tomorrow, and I know you keep saying, stop saying that, but it's life. There's no guarantee. You have no idea what's coming tomorrow. I've heard stories this past week of difficult circumstances that have come into the lives of you. my friends and my family. And it can happen to me tomorrow as well. Difficult circumstances is the formula, plus connection to Jesus. That's what Paul's saying. It's not I'm thankful for difficult circumstances. No, it's difficult circumstances plus this Jesus thing that he keeps talking about. Give thanks and everything for all, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. It's always connected to Jesus, equals growth. It's kind of crazy, but the human experience seems to be difficult circumstances does not equal growth. Just by itself. It also seems to be the case that just a relationship with Jesus, don't throw anything at me, equals growth. I'm not saying that it can't in good times and that, but it's almost like, for me, I've only grown in the dark valley times. True growth. The other times, I'm just like, I got this, Jesus. Where, yeah, you, I can handle this. When things are good, I drift from Jesus. It's the difficulty that kind of, hey, Jesus, you got this? Like, this isn't going the way I plan. I know. Walk with me. Connection with Jesus. I think this is the secret that Paul's trying to give us. If he would write it out in a formula, I think this is what he's saying. Difficult circumstances plus connection to Jesus equals growth. And that's why I think he's thankful, is that he has grown and he's able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is growth, my friends. And that's why he's able to have gratitude, because he's grown through the things that he's gone through. In fact, here is my challenge for us. It's to be thankful that I can grow through everything or anything I go through. You know, it's possible to grow through anything you go through. How? Jesus. And I know it sounds simplistic, but those of us who are going through it know that this is it. And some of us are going through things, but we're not willing to grow through things, are we? No, thank you, is what we say. I'll say thanks, but it's no thank you, God. I'm not putting up with this. Many people walk away from God in the midst of these things, because we always say God's a good God, and we don't talk about how sometimes things go bad, but he's still good. And we think that he only health, wealth, prosperity, he only blesses. That's, by the way, that's such a 21st century American Christianity gospel. Health, wealth, and prosperity. Do you know what I'm talking about? Everybody's going to be rich, everybody's going to be perfectly healthy, and everything's always going to go your way. Paul would be like, what? Paul's theology is totally screwed up then. The guy we're talking about, because what Paul is saying is, man, you can be thankful that you can grow through anything that you go through. Anything that you go through. So this is what we're talking about today. This is the second way gratitude can change our lives. The first way was it helps you see God as good when you're thankful. Today I'm saying be thankful for whatever you go through, because through those things that you go through, you can grow through those. And that is why we give thanks. I feel like I need to share personally with you how this has worked for me. And I hesitated to do this. In fact, even this morning, I was like, I feel like I'm talking about this too much. And you know how you, sometimes preachers are like, I don't want to talk about myself too much. But you've also told me that it's the transparency. I'm just being very real with you. That when I share certain things and you feel like I've gone through it, you get it. You connect with it. And so I share it in that light today. Many of you know that I know the day, July 8th of this year, I lost my hearing in my right ear. Instantly. Lost it. Did I snap? I couldn't hear it. Totally lost my hearing in my right ear. It's a strange thing. It happened from a cold. It went to my ear. It can happen to anybody. And so all of a sudden, I entered into difficult circumstances. And I probably made it seem better than it was. For the weeks following, I went downward. And some of you are going through so much worse. That's why I'm like, I don't even know if I can share this, but it's my story. It's my experience. It's what I'm going through. I entered a depression. I struggled greatly. Shauna, my wife, said, John, I can't lose you. The kids can't lose you. You're detaching. And I'm like, I can't hear as part of the detachment, but it was worse than that. I thought, I can't. Y'all, I would come into the lobby and I couldn't hear what you were saying. And so I asked you to pray for me. Shauna, my wife, was like, you better tell them people what's going on. She didn't call you them people. That was just my interpreting. This is your family. You need to ask for prayer. And I did. And man, some of you started praying for me. And some of you prayed over me. And we were praying for my healing. And I was like, yes. And there were moments, I'll tell you, I was in Belize after this happened. And they were singing a song about, I can hear the chains falling. And I was convinced in that moment. I'm just telling you, have you ever had a moment like this? Like, Lord, you're about to restore my healing. Like, thank you. And the song ended, and I walked out, and I didn't have hearing. And I was like, what are you doing, God? That's a perfect time. I can hear. I mean, I had goosebumps. You ever had a moment like that? And some of you have prayed for me, and I appreciate it, and you continue to pray for me. Some of you are telling me, don't accept it. Can I tell you something? I'm so thankful that I lost my hearing in my right ear. And I don't think I'd want it back. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm so thankful for the growth and the change that God has worked in me. If God said, all right, you've gone through it, do you want it back now? Yes. I probably would. That's where I'd be. Things just stink now, like sounds different. I walked in the first Sunday, I'm like, what's wrong with the band? Nothing. I just can't hear in stereo. You call my name, I don't know where it's coming from. People with single-sided hearing, just a note. We can't locate sounds. We're like, this is what we're doing. Like, where in the heck is that coming from? You get very dizzy. you gotta play and have, I mean, you know, it is. But I'm thankful. Almost for the circumstance. And you can't deny me that. Because it's what I've gone through, and I'm just gonna be thankful for the circumstance, and I'm gonna be thankful that God has let me grow through this. And I appreciate that some of you are telling me it's going to come back, stuff like that, but I would just ask you to stop. Just pray for me silently. And here's why. Some people don't get their hearing back. Some people lose much more than that. And are we telling them you can't grow? I've grown more through difficulty than I have through all my 45 years of being able to hear fine. God can grow people. He can grow you. I say that to you if you're going through something difficult. I know you want it gone. I get it. But He might be growing you through the difficulty. And you can grow through anything you go through. Amen? Anything you go through. Do we understand this? Anything you go through. This is why Paul says in Romans, God can work all things together for the good of those who love Him. It's through all of that. And y'all, technology's awesome. I got hearing aids. I can hear better. I can't hear perfectly. I have an app on my phone. I can mute you. Yeah, I've done it. Mostly with my family. Not my wife. My kids. But y'all, you get it, right? So what are you going through today? You can grow through it. You can grow through it. You can grow through it. Connection to Jesus plus difficult circumstances equals growth. Be thankful. Let's pray.